Amen, amen. I tell you what, that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture right there that we just prayed. When you think about that, I mean, because as a minister, as a pastor, I talk to a lot of people and they'll often, you know, I used to be the same way. How many of you know if you say this, if you said this in the past, you're in good company? So did Moses. What? I can't. Didn't Moses say I can't? I can't talk, I can't speak, I can't. We say it. It happens. It comes out of our mouths. But the truth of the matter is, in and of ourselves, we are not sufficient. That's the truth. Amen? And I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to acknowledge that. It's just really easy for me to acknowledge that because I know me. I know what I was like before Jesus. I know what I'm like after him. And in and of myself, I'm not sufficient. But he has made you sufficient as a minister of the new covenant. You are sufficient. Do you know both of those verses of Scripture are equally true? They're both equally true. But which one do we, or let me not say we, but which one do people often hook up with the quickest? The first one. Shouldn't we hook up with both of them equally? Because they're both equally true. One is no more true than the other. You know, the first one is like, how many of you know you don't have to exercise a lot of faith to hook up with the first one? It's just pretty easy to hook up. Second one, okay, by faith. I am sufficient. I am sufficient. Ephesians, two thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4. Part of this is a great big thank you to Jan Wilson. And I'll explain why in a little bit. And then part of this comes from something that I've gotten from Jackie, Roland's wife, Jackie Bauer, with the small groups. Something that Jackie just activated in their small group. Teresa and Terry are in that group. They're co-hosts of that group. And when you guys had a situation, a lot of stuff came up, and there was just an opportunity to provide meals. Am I on the right page? Yeah. And Jackie just took that and contacted people within that small group, got it done. You know? And then Jan with Andrea. I said that right, didn't I? Okay. With Andrea. You know, Thursday, I was busy. I was doing a funeral for Bobby Playstead. There was about 400 people there. And she had her surgery on Thursday, and then on Friday, Jan's up there sitting with her for about 5 hours. I just, you know, the people, ministering to people. Amen. I have been saying for years, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and I can remember down in Rushville, Nebraska, when I was pastor in there. So now we're talking about 28 years ago. It's getting away. I got a little bit of history. And I remember reading a little booklet. It was called 2,000 Years is Long Enough. And what the book was about is it's been long enough. There's been about 2,000 years in different parts and ways in the body of Christ where the person standing behind the pulpit was in ministry. And everybody else was simply lay people. Didn't necessarily have ministry. How many of you know that is not biblically correct? Each and every one of us has a ministry. And each and every one of them is vital and unique. Hallelujah. So I just that so blessed me. But let me just start reading. I want to just reading it. Verse 12, I'll go fast. Ephesians 4. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, if you want to know, if you want to start to get a definition, a picture of your ministry, here you go. Here you go. You know, right there in that verse of Scripture. My job is for the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? The people are. The word edified means to build up. You want an idea of what part of your ministry looks like? Build people up. Build people up. Build people up. How do you build people up? Best way I know to build people up is speak the word of God to them. Love on them. Let the Holy Spirit work through you and give you things to speak to them. But I tell you what, right there's your ministry. Build people up. Turn and look at somebody and say, build people up. Build people up. If it's hard, build people up in the Word. Build people up in the truth of God's Word. Build them up. You know what? We all appreciate it when it happens. Amen? How many of you have ever been beat down? Stupid question. All of us have. The enemy has beaten us down. Society has beaten us down. School's beaten some of us down. You know, different things just beat people down. Oh, how good it is. How good it is to have somebody build you up. And that's our ministry as saints. That's our ministry to one another. Hallelujah. To be there for people. Hallelujah. Okay. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure, to the stature, to the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed and tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Hallelujah. You know what? We help each other grow up. We help each other grow up. By us speaking the truth to each other in love, it helps us grow up. Anybody ever had somebody speak the truth to you in love and it helped you grow? Yeah. And how many of you know sometimes when you have somebody speak the truth to you in love, it's love, but you know, we've had it happen. I tell you what, I'd rather have them say that to me than about me. Amen. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Are you doing your share? And aren't you glad you only have to do your share? You don't have to do everybody's share. Amen. I don't have to do your share, and you don't have to do my share. Now, can I share something with you that I had to wrestle through mentally? Diana and I have not made it to the hospital to see Andrea. I haven't made it to the hospital. Now, how many of you think, well, that's the pastor's job? It can be a thought. That's the pastor's job. The enemy throws that into my head. But I was so grateful, Jan, for you. Because there was a member of the body of Christ there ministering to Andrea. How many of you know that is so important? That is so major. That is so important for us to be there. And you can see just by the giving and just by passages and Weave and the Ladies of Honor and the church down in Nicaragua, we've always been a giving church and I love it. But you know what? I look forward to even more. Amen? I look forward to even more. And then this Christmas season, I shared this at Bobby's funeral. I don't know if I'll talk more about that this morning or not. There's part of it I could. When I was at the service, when I was at Bobby's funeral, God put something in my heart that he's never put in my heart before. And I pastor Living Outreach Church. I've gotten pretty comfortable at that. Which isn't a bad thing, being comfortable in your calling. It's not a bad thing. But what God put in my heart is he let me know. He said, Joel, you can speak to this group of people who are as a pastor to them. I could pastor outside the four walls of this church to the community. It's not something he's ever said to me before, but it's something that he gave me. And I got to. I got to. And part of where I got to do that, part of what he gave me was this, and I just shared part of our church. In our church this year, we've had 8 people pass away. All born again. All went to heaven. Praise God. There are 7 widows, widowers, that are going into the holiday season without their best friend. Wow. And in our community, Carol, she's going into the Christmas season without Bobby. Dave Hansen, huge funeral about maybe a month ago. He's going into the Christmas season. There's a lot of folks in our community that are going into the Christmas season without a dear, dear family member to them. Whether it's a dad, a husband, a wife, whatever it might be. I'd like to exhort us. Let's please be sensitive. I cut the call and talked to Janine Gould. And it was so awesome visiting with her because I brought this up. She said on the phone, she goes, I'm sure looking forward to that Christmas Eve service. Well, Janine, hate to be bad news, but we're not going to have a Christmas Eve service. And then I started talking. You know, Diane and I, we're going to Sioux Falls. And we want to be there with her dad. You know, otherwise he'd be alone. He wouldn't have any family with him. And that's just not going to happen. You know, and then like Jan had mentioned, you know, we asked the worship team, and I think everybody who was here that Sunday, I think, they said, nope, we're going to be gone, we're going to be gone. And that's often a microcosm of what's going on with the body of Christ. So there could be a whole lot of traveling. But here's what I'm getting to. I can tell you where I was December 24th, 1982. My dad died in October. But I know exactly where I was. Christmas Eve, I was at the home of Don and Mary Jo Tiller. They invited me over. Otherwise, I'd have been alone. Even though I got a bunch of family here, I was in a bad place. Diane and I weren't together. I was hurting. But isn't it crazy how many years later? What is it, 36 years later? I know exactly where I was. I can remember walking in. I can remember the kitchen, the living room. They even had a present for me. Whew. Any idea what that meant to me? I'd just really like all of us to seriously be in prayer for people. And then, are we willing to open our home up and invite somebody? It doesn't have to be for 36 hours. It might just be for a meal or for an afternoon or something like that. And you sit around and play some card games. But I just really encourage, especially since we're not having a Christmas Eve service, just to really do that. Let's just keep growing in these verses of Scripture here in Ephesians. That's such a big part of our ministry, a big part of what we do, amen? And just reach out to people. Now take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, and I'll tie a little bit more from Bobby's service. I don't know where everybody, well, actually, I could say this, I know this. A large number of folks who were at Bobby's service don't have a relationship with Jesus. Okay? They just don't. And part of what we had taught last week, what we're going to get into some more this week, just let me put it this way. Here's a way to pray. Because you know what? The fruit and the ministry from that service didn't end on Thursday. In fact, it actually is continuing to go. Because one of the things that God put in my heart as I was praying and as I was getting ready and going to minister His truth and minister His word was that I knew after the service there's going to be a boatload of people go start drinking. Just start drinking. That's what they were going to do. That's how they were going to deal with the pain and the hurt. It's just going to be drinking. And I like this one country song that I heard. The lyrics are great. You know, trying to drown my sorrows. I found out they can float. I used to try. I tried to drown my sorrows. No, they can, or you could put it, they can swim. but the whole theme of the message was, where do you turn? Where do you turn at a time like this? I used to turn to drinking. I used to turn to drugs. I used to turn to that. People have places that they turn. Well, and the message was just left. The heart of it was this. Turn to God. Turn to Jesus. Not in a preachy way. Not at all. But that verse of Scripture, now may the God of comfort and the God of mercies comfort you in your tribulation. And just inviting everybody to turn to God and let Him bring comfort. And then the rest of the verse goes on and says, that you may comfort those with the comfort you have been comforted with by God. And you know what I believe? I had a large majority of those people turning with me to God asking for comfort. But also the message of salvation was shared real clear. We gave three examples of turning to Jesus or not turning to Jesus. The rich young ruler, when Jesus preached his message and it was a hard message and they didn't understand it, and the vast majority of them walked away except for the disciples, and Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and said, well, what about you guys? Are you going to stay or are you going to go? Simon Peter said, only you have the words of life. You know, two thieves on the cross. It's crazy. They're in the exact same situation. They both have the exact same, but boy, they have such a radical different response to Jesus. One blasphemes, mocks, and makes fun of. The other turns to. Will you please be in prayer? Stay in prayer for all the people that heard that message, because here's what I know. When the drinking gets done, when the partying gets done, you're going to go home. Folks are gone. The effects are wearing off. See, I know this because I've been there. I've been there at 2 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't numb it anymore. Believe with me, would you, that those words of life are taken by the Holy Spirit and softly, gently, truthfully reveal to people's hearts, where do I turn? Oh, yeah. God, I don't know, God. I don't get it. I can't understand it. But God, will you help me? Will you just do that? Just do that. Here in Romans chapter 8, I see this going somewhere into the future, and that's why this is really important for you to start praying. You might go, well, Pastor, I don't see everything that you're talking about right now. Okay, how many of you see everything God's talking about right now? How many of you just walk in it anyway? Now, this is some stuff that God is saying to us for a church and in the future where there's going to be fruit, seriously rich fruit that comes out of this. Here in Romans, wow, are you kidding me? Do you know what time it is? Thank you, Lisa. Praise God. I got one, doesn't matter. Yay! Oh. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, notice that's a capital S on Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weakness. Glory to God. You know, just a truth. I've done this before, but if I was to ask Scotty, hey, Scotty, will you help me move this? And Scotty was to jump up and grab a hold of that end, and then I go sit down. Is Scotty helping me, or is he doing it? He's doing it. Amen? Do you know what? The Holy Spirit helps us. It's to be a partnership. And he could use my help. They come back here, you. Yeah. The Holy Spirit helps. It's a partnership. It's a working together. It's not doing it for. And this is why I want to take some time with this. I think sometimes people think, well, the Holy Spirit will just do it. He helps. He helps. It's a partnership. It's teamwork. You know, and if you look at this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Can I just this again? How many of us can go, well, I got weakness? See, we don't have any problem grabbing a hold of that part, do we? But how about grabbing a hold of the Holy Spirit helps? Amen. Glory to God. Turn and look at somebody and say, He's helping me. He's helping me. He's helping me when I'm weak. Do you know He doesn't just help us when we're strong? He helps us when we're weak. In our weaknesses, He helps us. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? You ever didn't know what? See, we know this. We need to pray. We know to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We know to pray the Word. But boy, we hit those situations. We hit those circumstances and times. We don't know what to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit wants to help. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's this intercessory prayer, just spending time interceding on behalf of others, and a great way to get there, guys, one of the best things that we can do is spend time praying in tongues, praying in our prayer language. Just go ahead, get quiet, get away from everything, and then just spend time praying in tongues. Just spend time praying in tongues. Just it's such a rich thing to do. There's so many wonderful, amazing things that happen when we spend time praying in the Spirit. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit comes along and helps. And then did you notice at the end of verse 6:26? The Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. One translation puts it this way, inarticulate speech. Can I get a show of hands? How many of you have ever just been praying, and all of a sudden when you were praying, something deep on the inside, you just found yourself, oh. You ever been there? What's going on? One word that can be used is called travailing. Something is being prayed out. Something is being prayed through that you don't get in your head. But the Holy Spirit, you have partnered, teamed up, and you're working together. And something is being birthed somewhere. And it's according to the will of God. You read those two verses together. Makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Taking that time. Taking that time. And I'm going back to that. Hallelujah. I want to go to two passages of Scripture at the same time. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to read this out of this translation right here. And this is a translation. It's called the Passion Translation. And it is a translation. It's not a paraphrase. It's a translation. So it stays true. You know, it's not just somebody kind of sticking their opinion in. The Greek words, Hebrew words have been studied out, and it's a translation. But I want you to listen to, and I'll read Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 out of the New King James. For my little children, for whom I labor in birth again. Well, notice that. What was Paul doing? He had labored for them in birth. And he calls them their children, his children. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again till Christ is formed in you. This one gets a little bit blind to us. Let me read it out of this other translation. It'll make a little bit clearer. We can get some better insight here. For you are my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains again. Once again, Paul had agonized in the Spirit. Paul had agonized in prayer for them, the Galatians. Do you know what Paul's laboring in prayer for the Galatians? Who does he call them? My children. Did you know that there are times when we in our prayer interceding for people, there's times it's for the saints, and then there's times it's for unbelievers. And that intercession plays a huge role in their coming to Christ. Amen? It's gigantic. Okay? Paul had, let me just read it again. You are my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains once again. He had labored in spiritual labor pains for them before. Now he's doing it once again. This is fascinating. Listen to this. Once again, until the anointed one will be fully formed in your hearts. Who's that anointed one that is to be fully formed in their hearts? Jesus. Amen. You think this has anything to do with spiritual growth? What's necessary? What's vital? People praying for people and letting the Holy Spirit work. This hits me big. This hits me so big, and there's several reasons why it does. But what I find interesting in this is what was going on. What was going on with the Galatians? See if I can get this in context just by reading the next verse in the same translation. Let me read the whole thing again. You are my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains once again until the anointed one will be fully formed in your hearts. How I wish I could be there in person and change my tone towards you. For I am truly dumbfounded over what you are doing. You know what was happening? Paul's totally dumbfounded over what they are doing. You know what they're starting to do? How many of you know what they're starting to do? They're starting to get, one, pulled away towards false teaching, and they're starting to go back under the law. And Paul is just, oh, Father. Oh, Father, please. Father, they need to have revelation of Jesus. They need to know fully and completely who they are in Christ. Oh, he's spending time in prayer, travailing in the Spirit, till Christ be formed in them. Would he be doing this if it wasn't necessary? Would he be doing this if it wouldn't do any good? Can I ask you a question? How many of us in here have friends who once walked with the Father and then slid away? The world pulled at him. I had mentioned last Sunday, about 4 years ago, God put it on our hearts as a church that we needed to, he commanded us to pray. It wasn't, you know, I'd kind of like you guys to pray a little bit more. It wasn't like that. He said, I command. He commanded us as a church. And we've done some. We've done some, but we haven't done fully what the Father wants us to do. I tell you what, this is just my challenge. And part of it is for, you know, over the holidays with the Placid family. And literally, you know, like I said, there are about 400 people there praying for them. Part of it is praying and interceding for saints till Christ is fully formed in them. Amen. You guys, this is my thought. We're tuned in today. We're hooked up today. I thank you guys for hearing. I thank you for listening. Let me give you just three passages of Scripture. I have some other truths that I want to share, but I'm not going to take the time this morning to go into that much depth. But let's start at Colossians. I gave you the references last week. But go to the book of Colossians with me, please. And this little next bit, I want to say this. Do you know what? Did you know what I'm talking about right now? Everybody can do. Okay. Who's the oldest person in here? Oh, Sharon, you're laughing because that was such a dumb question, wasn't it? We know exactly who the oldest person is, but you know what's so awesome about that? I didn't go right to Al being the oldest person in here because he doesn't act like the oldest person in here. Amen? So who's the oldest? No, we won't go there. But who's the youngest person in here? Yep. That's perfect. Roland's the youngest person in here. It doesn't matter. Who's the youngest person spiritually? Who's the oldest person spiritually? You know what? None of that matters. Every one of us can do what we're talking about. Every single person in this room is capable of doing what we're talking about today. Amen? Every one of us. Every one of us can get on our knees and pray. Pray on behalf of others. Every one of us can do these things that we're going to look at here in the scripture and pray in tongues as well. Do both. Colossians. And something that I've liked to say for years, and I find this both in Ephesians and in Colossians chapter 1. This is just so good. We're going to start Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 3, kind of lengthen it a little bit. We give thanks. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. I hope I didn't create confusion. Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about it. It's different. When do we typically pray for somebody? Time of need. You know, call people up. So-and-so is in a time of need. When was the last time you got a phone call? Hey, Ron is doing fantastic. He's doing so awesome. Let's pray for him. Have you ever got a phone call like that? No. What's Paul doing? We give thanks to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. He's heard how great they're doing. He's heard about their faith and how strong it is. He's heard about their love for all the saints. So you know what he does? He keeps praying for them. He keeps praying for them. Let's keep praying for people when they're doing good. When they're walking strong, let's keep praying for them. Why? There's a couple things you can know. The enemy doesn't like that. The enemy doesn't like that. And being strong in faith and walking in love is going to have an impact in this world. Yeah, don't wait till somebody's in total, you know, turmoil to start praying for them. Let's be praying for each other all the time. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among the saints. It's really crazy here again. I keep seeing these patterns. Here's the word going forth. Here's the word going forth. Here's the word. And then what's Paul doing? Praying. You think he's letting the Holy Spirit come in here? The Word and the Spirit and you. I'm going to keep saying that phrase over and over. The Word, the Spirit, and you. Remember the illustration up here with the wrench? Tay-Tay couldn't turn the nut loose, and the wrench represents the Word, but you put that pipe on there, she turned it so easy. You take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you mix them together, and it's amazing what starts happening. Because see, Ernie, I heard you say amen real loud when I said, prayed, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Just real bold, real strong. Amen. He is the teacher. So you know what? How much better for us when we minister to people and we talk to people and we love on people, we're well aware of the Holy Spirit, letting Him be right here helping us, because the Holy Spirit's the teacher. Now, He can go where you can't. He can go where you can't. He's in the spirit realm. He can go where you can't. He can go into people's hearts. I love Ephesians. Okay, gosh, I'm getting excited. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And take up the sword of the Spirit. You don't have to turn there. And take up the sword of the Spirit. Again, that's a capital S. and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And take up the sword of the Spirit. Where's the Holy Ghost? He's in a realm that I don't see in unless the gift of discerning of spirits manifests, and I get to see in that realm. Unless I have a vision or I fall into a trance, I can't see in that realm. But you know what? He can. And he can take that word, which is his sword, and the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, going where? It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. You know what happened Thursday? The Holy Spirit took his sword, and he's going into the thoughts and the intent of people's hearts. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. He's doing that. Let's keep the switch of faith turned on. I mean, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's living, but we need to blend the Word and the Holy Spirit together, interceding for people. Till Christ is formed in them again. Praying for people to come to the knowledge. I like to say this. People can't get born again without the Word. And people can't get born again without the Holy Spirit. You need both. Because part of the Holy Spirit's job is he reveals. Over there in John chapter 16. He reveals to people the sin of rejecting Jesus. He'll go in and he'll talk to them. You know what you're doing? You're rejecting the very one that can save you. You're rejecting the very one that will wipe away all your sins. Wow. How many of us have tried to beat somebody into salvation? The church world has done that pretty good. Just try to beat people. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Works by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And what is so absolutely vital for all of us, you guys, is taking time and spending it in prayer. Spending it in prayer. And there are some things. There's a lot of things. The best way I know how to explain this is when my dear friend Dave Morrison's wife, Kathy, passed away of cancer. Tough. Tough. She passes away of cancer. And there were a bunch of us. There were people through the RMAI, Rhema, and good friends and people that Dave knew and everything, just providing, loving on, reaching out. You know, our church and other RMAI churches gave him over $10,000, you know, just everything we could. And talked to Dave a lot. And he said something that was so insightful. He said, I am so grateful for all of that. I'm so thankful for what everybody did. But then he also said, he goes, but there was that element that if I didn't do it, if I didn't get in there and fellowship with the Father, and if I didn't let the Father work in my life, he wouldn't be able to do everything he wants to do. How many of you know that there's that element for all of us? Oh, there's that element for all of us. Yeah, we need to be in prayer for other people. But then we also need to be in prayer. Part of it is for ourselves as well. Guys, we can't short-circuit prayer. We can't just leave it sitting on the shelf. Amen? We can't. We can't afford to. How often did Jesus withdraw and pray? You know, you'd think if there was somebody that didn't have to spend a lot of time in prayer, it'd be Jesus, right? No. He spent time in prayer. Okay, let me move on here. I got praying. Oh, you taking stuff today? Yeah, I know you are. Amen. I'm going to finish this up. There's a... Go eat popcorn. Colossians. Yeah, I had to figure out where I was. Colossians. Let me jump down and just read verse 9. And verse 9, chapter 1. For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you Now, look, you know what? Everybody can do this. Take your Bible. Lay it out at home somewhere. Lay it out on the kitchen counter. Lay it out on the table. Lay it out on the coffee cup. Get your Bible and lay it out to these passages of Scripture. And the ones in Ephesians. There's two in Ephesians, but I'm not going to turn there right now. How often did Paul pray for this? Pray this for these folks? He didn't cease. He didn't stop. No matter how good they were doing, he didn't stop praying for them. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what? If you don't want to pray this for you, would you pray this for me? Take your Bible, lay it out at home somewhere to these verses of Scripture open, and every time you walk by it, just stop. Father, right now I ask that Pastor Joel is filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And these are prayers for saints right here. These are prayers for believers right here. Go ahead and put that person's name in there. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for other members in the church. Ask that Diana be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, that Diana may have a walk worthy of you, that she is fully pleasing you, and that she is bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, here's the next question. Will God hear this prayer? Where does it come from? Straight from his word. He will hear this prayer. Amen? How many of us can do this? Every one of us. What do you think will happen in the body of Christ? Oh, I got to quit. Oh. You know what will happen to us? We'll have revelation. We'll have insight. We'll have understanding. And you know what? I like this. When that revelation comes, light comes. We'll see more clearly. We'll know where to step. We'll know what to do. And not just us, but other people. Other people. Other people will know what to do. Other people will see more clearly. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. I'm just going to stop there. I want to thank you guys. Thank you. At least, to me it just seems like taken in. Just taken in. That's how it seems to me. Thank you. Thank you. How many in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You're born again. You know that when you're leaving this world, you're going to heaven. This is something I do every Sunday. Every Sunday. I just want to do it. I want to make sure that every person that comes into this church has received the gift of all gifts, the gift that put Christmas in motion. I mean, you're talking about the gift. I don't know about you. I know about me. And I'm looking forward to some gifts at Christmas time. I will even go buy myself gifts if I have to. I've been known to do it. People, my daughter Heather, she says cash is king. I'm inclined to agree with that. Did you know, I read this. This blew me away. $16 billion a year is spent buying Christmas presents for people that they don't really want. Give me the money. No, I'm just... Anyway, but the gift of all gifts. Oh, there's a bunch of people excited about getting gifts. I am as an adult. I don't care what anybody says. There's a part of me that ain't never going to grow up. No way. Never, never. It isn't going to happen. There's a part of me that will stay a kid forever. Amen? Roland and I are battling for the youngest one in here. I don't know the way we act, though. I'm pretty sure I act way younger. Roland's got some maturity and wisdom and insight about him that people are praying I would get. So anyway, the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Amen. The real meaning of Christmas, Jesus. Amen. If you're in this place and you've never said yes to Jesus, I invite you to say yes to Jesus today. How do you do that? Oh, Jesus, I know I've blown it. I know I've messed up. I know that. But I do believe that God gave you to this world. I believe that you died on that cross and you took my place. I know that I sinned. I know that there's no doubt. That's understood. And today, I say yes to you, Jesus. I turn to you. I believe that my sins were put on you and God raised you from the dead. And right now, I just confess you as my Lord. Just like the thief on the cross next to you, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, you did. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Folks, it's that easy. It's that easy. If you've never done that, you can. You can. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss out on it. Now I'm going to pray and just going to, we're not going to, Terry, you can put that.